All right, Timothy, let's begin. So today's daf is Ayin Vav. We'll start from the last line of Ayin Hey Amud Beis. Again, our learning this morning is dedicated by the Kozlovsky family in memory of Sonia's mother, Rachel Bas Herschel. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah. Okay, so we left off last line. I'm sorry, not last line. Excuse me, Mishnah. The Mishnah. Va'od klal achar amrus. The Mishnah Ayin Hey Amud Beis. The rabbis also said another klal. Kol hakosher lahatznia umatznian kamohu votzio b'shavis chayiv chatos. Anything that a person would normally store, and people normally store this particular amount, and a person carries out that amount on Shabbos, yuchayiv chatos. Or in other words, what the Gemara seems to be saying is that the way you know that something is significant enough to violate the malach of hotza on Shabbos is if A, it's something that people store away, that indicates the chashivos. And how do you remember, as we spoke about before, every malach requires a shear. So what's the shear of hotza? What's the shear of carrying an object? It's the shear is the amount that a person would normally store away. Okay, so the Gemara says, v'chol she'enu kasher la'atznia, and anything that a person doesn't normally store away, ve'ein matznian kamohu, and the amount is not normally stored, v'otzio b'shabbos, and it is carried out on Shabbos, eino chayiv ella hamatznio. The only person who would be chayiv would be one who stores it away. Now what does that mean practically? So the Gemara seems to be saying over here, what the Mishnah is saying is like this, that if you have an item that people don't normally store, an item that people don't normally store, so then halacha lemaisa, it's not considered significant that if you carried it out on Shabbos, you'd not be chayiv. But if a person does make the decision to store it, right? Let's say a person makes a decision to go and for me, item A is significant, so I store it away, and I store it away in a particular measure, then halacha lemaisa, I would be chayiv if I carry out what for me is a significant amount. Says the Gemara. Kala kosher la'atznio la'afukei mayim. What does this come to exclude? When the Mishnah says, anything that is normally stored, if you carry it out on Shabbos, yuchai v'chatos, what does this come to exclude? Obviously, it's coming to exclude something that's not normally stored, okay? So what's an example of something that's not normally stored? Rav Papa amar la'afukei dam nida. Rav Papa says, it comes to exclude menstrual blood. Dam nida. Rashi says, actually, no Rashi yet. Umar Ukva Amar La'afuki Atzei Ashera. And Umar Ukva says it comes to exclude Ashera trees. Remember, Ashera is Avodah Zara. So the Gemara says, Mando Amar Dam Nida Kol Shekin Atzei Ashera. The Mando who says that it comes to exclude Dam Nida, I will say, we'll discuss why it is that a person would be storing Dam Nida. The classic reason we would think about it is maybe a woman has a Shaila that she has to ask. That's not the reason of here, as we'll see in just a moment. So the man who holds Dam Nida, that the Mishnah comes to exclude Dam Nida, all the more so Atze Ashera. Right? All the more so Atze Ashera. Because ultimately Atze Ashera is Mamish Avodah Zara. However, Mando Amar Atze Ashera, the one who says Atze Ashera, however, about Dam Nida, Matznia Le Lashunra. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to explain it. I don't quite understand it. But apparently, a person would sometimes feed a cat menstrual blood. So a person might go ahead and store away this item in order to feed it to their animal. Right? So therefore, the man who says that it comes to exclude Atzei Ashera wouldn't necessarily exclude Dam Nida. The Idach, the other opinion who holds that it's Dam Nida, would say, Kevan Decholsha Lo Matznile. And the other man says that since it weakens a person would not go ahead and store it. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says over here, Kevan Decholsha, Hamachil Dam Ha'odam Lechot Lechatul, Na'asecholosh Osadam. It's actually quoting the Gemara elsewhere that says that if an animal eats of your blood, the Chazal felt that that leads to the weakening of the individual. Therefore, a woman is not going to go ahead and feed her menstrual blood to a cat because ultimately, again, Stephen, you are a very, very, very good man. Shkoach God, well, thank you. Shkoach to Stephen. So a person wouldn't go ahead and weaken themselves by feeding the menstrual blood to an animal. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chinina, Hai Delok Rabbi Shimon. This Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon. Why? So the Gemara says, look at Rashi, I will say, Ha Ditana Kol HaKasher LaHatzniyah V'yesh bo shir shirov b'nei adam asuyin lahatznia kishir hazeh, chayiv kala adam al hotza asal, v'afidu adam asher she'in shir zeh chashavol. Now I will say, the statement that the Mishnah subscribed to was the following yisod, which is that if you have something that people normally store away, and you go ahead and let's say they store away in shear X, everyone is chayiv if they carry shear X, even if a person is a wealthy individual who would not normally store away such a measurement of that particular item. So just to give you the example, if people would normally go ahead and store away, you know, a grogeres of wheat, for argument's sake. So the Mishnah is suggesting that if that's the norm, then everyone becomes chayiv for that particular amount. But halacha lemaisa, if a person, let's say, is rich and would not go ahead and store that amount on their own, the Mishnah said they're still chayiv because that's the objective shear. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with that. So if the Gemara says the Mishnah does not reflect the Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon says the Rabbi Shimon ha'omer lo amru kolas shiur halalu ela lematzni ehen, that these shiurim were only stated regarding people who normally store away that particular amount. So meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, the shear is only significant if you yourself would store that particular amount away. Fine. The chol shein kosher latznia, and anything that's not normally stored away, tap of ayin vav. Amar Rabbi Elazar, how do Rabbi Shimon Elazar? This also does not reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. The sanya klal amar Rabbi Shimon Elazar, kol she'eino kosher latznia, any item that is not normally stored away, ve'ein matznien kamohu, and such an object is not normally stored, v'hochshir lezeh vitznio, and what? And now let's say I decide to go ahead and store it. So people don't normally store item A. I went ahead and I decided to store item A. For me, it's significant. Uba achar vehotzio, and someone else came along and then carried this amount. Nischayiv zebemach shava shalza. Bless you. A very interesting statement. According to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, is if I store the particular item and therefore make it significant, therefore halacha lemaisa, someone else could be chayiv because I made it significant. So I decide that for me, a grogeres of wheat is significant. For everyone else, it's not. Once I made it significant, if someone else carries that amount, they by definition become chayiv for an act of otzava davar chashuv. That's the position of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. The Gemara is pointing out, the Mishnah clearly rejects that, because the Mishnah says that this goes by what people in general normally do. And if people don't go ahead and store it, then halacha lemaisa is not considered to be significant. Mishnah. Hamotzi teven kimali pipara. Now, we'll say, continuing still in the theme of shiurim. If someone goes ahead and carries straw in the amount that it would take to fill the mouth of a cow, that's a significant amount of straw. The amount of straw that it takes to fill the mouth of a cow, or itza. Rashi says itza. We'll see in the Gemara what that is. Itza kimali pigamal, or you take out enough itza to go ahead and fill the mouth of a camel, or amir kimali pitala, or amir. Rashi says kashin shel shibalin. Also, the stalks of straw. These are all just different types of straw. Kimali pitala, like the amount that it would take to fill the mouth of a small goat. Asovim, grass. Kimali pi gidi, like to fill the mouth of a kid. Ali shum ali bitzolim, the leaves of garlic and the leaves of onions. Lochim, if they are moist, ki grogeres, then the shear is like a dried fig. Yeveshim, if they are dry, kimali pi gidi, the amount that it goes ahead and takes to fill the mouth of a kid. Ve'in mitzdarvin ze'im ze'. However, they do not combine in shiurim. Ve'in mitzdarvin ze'im ze'. Because halacha lemaisa, they are not equivalent in their shiurim. So the Gemara now is, the Mishnah is suggesting that halacha lemaisa, because each of them have their own shiur, therefore they cannot combine together to form any particular requisite shiur. Says the Gemara, my eitzah. What is eitzah? Amar Rav Yehuda, teven shel minei kitnis. So Rav Yehuda says it refers to the teven, literally to the straw of kitnis. Kitnis are legumes, the straw of legumes. Ki asa ravdimi amar hamotzi teven kimale pi para legamo. So this is interesting. So Ravdimi asks the following question. If one goes ahead and carries out teven, now remember, teven is straw. The Mishnah said that the shear for straw is kimale pi para, is the amount to go ahead and fill up a cow's mouth. So what happens if you went ahead and you brought out straw, kimalei pipara legamal. But you're bringing it out for the donkey. Look at Rashi. Hamotzi tavin kimalei pipara votziu lahachilo legamal. The reason I'm transporting the straw is to go ahead and feed the camel. Shepi gamal gadlami pipara. So we'll say here the shaila. So on one hand, I'm carrying out technically the requisite shear that should make me chayiv, because the amount of tevin that you're chayiv for carrying on Shabbos is pipara. But I'm not carrying it to go ahead and feed the para. I'm actually carrying it to feed the gamo. And yet what? This would actually not be enough straw to feed the gamo, right? Because the gamo's mouth is bigger than the para. So the shayla is, am I chayiv for this particular act of hotza? What the Gemara is really asking with this is, the Gemara is trying to figure out how set in stone are these particular shiurim. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayiv, Reish Lakish Amar Potter. Rabbi Yochanan says you're Chayiv, thank you. Rabbi Yochanan says you're Chayiv. Reish Lakish says you're Potter. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayiv, Reish Lakish Amar Potter. Ba'orta Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, Litzafra Hadarbei. The Gemara just points out, in the evening, Rabbi Yochanan said this position that you're Chayiv, and in the morning he retracted. So first of all, take a look at Rashi Rabosai. Rashi says, the Chayiv, Dehechila shir de chazila para, hilchach kosher latzni avuhu matznin kamohu. So Rabbi Yochanan would say that halacha lemaisa you're chayiv, because at the end of the day you did carry out the significant shir, even though your intention is to go ahead and feed a camel, right? You still carried out the significant shir, which is the amount to feed a cow. And Reish Lakish says no, you didn't. Meaning at the end of the day, your intention was to feed the camel. You didn't bring out enough straw to feed the camel, and therefore halacha lemaisa you're potter. So Mar just points out Rabbi Yochanan retracted his position. Right, in the evening he just said chayiv, and in the morning he changed his mind. Amar Rav Yosef Shapir Ovid Dehadar. So Abaye said shkoyach to Rabbi Yochanan that he retracted. Why? Deha lo chazi legamal. Because so comes on Rabbi Yosef and says, Rabbi Yochanan, you can't possibly hold chayiv for the simple reason that you didn't bring out enough straw to accomplish the malacha, to accomplish the task that you set out to do. You set out to go out and feed the camel. You didn't bring enough straw to go out and feed the camel, and therefore halacha lemaisa, so you shouldn't be chayiv. Amrei Abaye, adirabo. Abaye says just the opposite. Kedemei ikara mistabra. Abaye says, I think Rabbi Yochanan was right the first time around that you're chayiv. Why? Daha chazi lepara. Because at the end of the day, despite the fact that you may not have brought out enough straw to go ahead and give to the camel, but you did what? You did bring enough to feed the cow. And that, by definition, makes him alachas machshavas. Eloki asa ravin amar. Hamotzi tevin kimali pipara legamal. If you went ahead and you took out a cow's mouth worth of straw to go ahead and feed a camel, the kuli amalo pligi dechayiv. Everyone agrees that you're chayiv, because at the end of the day, you carried a significant shear. Ki pligi. When do they argue? Bemotzi eitza kimali pi para lepara. What do they argue? In the case of when you take out eitza, then I will say eitza we just defined before as the tevin shalmine kitnis. It's the straw of lentils. But remember, what was the shear of eitza? The shear of eitza was kimali pi para. Kimali pi gamal, excuse me. So the amount of eitza you're chayiv for transporting on Shabbos is a mouth's worth of eitza from a camel's mouthful, right? The camel's mouthful is the shear chayiv for eitza. So both said, the interesting machlok is the Gemara says like this. If you went ahead and you carried out a cow's mouth worth of teven, even though it's to feed the gamal, everyone agrees you're chayiv for the simple reason that what? For the simple reason that halacha lemaisa you've carried a significant shear. The shaila is, what happens if you carried out a para's mouthful of eitza? Now the shear of eitza in the Mishnah is the mouthful of a gamal, which is larger than a para. So what happens if you carry out a cow's mouthful of eitza for the sake of feeding your cow? Are you chayiv for that? So the Gemara says, v'ipcha itmar. And in fact, in that case, the exact opposite is mentioned. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Pater. Rabbi Yochanan says you're Pater. Reish Lakish Amar Chayiv. Reish Lakish says you're Chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Pater. Rabbi Yochanan says you're Pater. Why? Achila ayu de'adchak lo shma achila. See, Rabosai, Rabbi Yochanan holds that you're Pater for a very interesting reason. Cows don't eat eitza. Cows don't eat eitza. So you're not performing a significant malacha. Aye, but the cow will eat eitza if there's nothing else to eat. See, he holds what we call achila al yedei adchak, which means achila because of extenuating circumstances, that's not called achila. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that you did not do the malacha in the normative fashion, and therefore you're not be chayiv achatos. Reish Lakish Shamar Chayiv. Reish Lakish on the other hand holds that you're chayiv. Why? Because achila al yidei adchak shma achila. Because Reish Lakish holds that achila, even under extenuating circumstances, is still called achila. So according to Reish Lakish, at the end of the day, if you brought out enough eitzah to be consumed by the cow, and the cow will indeed consume the eitzah, whether or not this is the cow's normal dietary habits doesn't make any difference. At the end of the day, as long as he's going to eat it, you're chayiv for that. Says the Gemara. Kotzal, carrying.
So who cares?
Because that was the Mishnah. Gotta come on time, right? Because the Mishnah said that you're only chayiv for carrying if you carry a significant shear. So we're trying to figure out what makes a shear significant. So the Mishnah said the things that make a shear significant are the amounts that an animal would eat. So now the shaila is, what happens if you? How do you gauge a feed that's not normally eaten by a particular animal? That's the shaila of the Gemara. Right, so that's the shaila. So that's the question. So now it would be eaten under duress, but the shaila is that still called the feed of this animal? Therefore, is that considered to be a significant amount? If you carry something that's not significant, you're not chayiv on Shabbos. Right, we're conditioned to think that you're chayiv for any act of carrying. That's not true. You're only chayiv for carrying if it's significant. So that's the shaila. Is this called significant if an animal will not normally eat this? That's the shaila. And that's machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says if it's a food that an animal doesn't normally eat, even if an animal would eat it under duress, that's not called the chash of active carrying, and therefore you're potter. Reish Lakish says no, as long as it'll eat it even under duress, that's called chashav and you're chayif. That's machlokes. Also, just by the way, we paskin like Reish Lakish, that as long as the animal would eat this particular food, even if it's under duress, halacha lemaisa, that's called significant and you would be chayif for also.
And also, like, where Reish Lakish, that you need the intent always, because all of Reish Lakish's other viewpoints is always with intent. So it's so.
You asking like Reish Lakish from the last two sugyas also.
Right here.
Yeah.
All these things is you have to have the intent.
Yeah, you always have to have the intent.
Okay, so that's the difference.
100%. 100%. You have to have the intent. 100%.
So regardless of the shear, you have stored in a bucket by accident.
No, not necessarily. This could be talking about, again, remember, we frame shogeg. Shogeg is one of two situations. Shogeg is either A, you don't know the item, you don't know the action is usser, right? Or you don't know what Shabbos, right? No, we're not talking about a case, if you left some straw in your pocket Erev Shabbos, that's a totally separate. That might even be misasik. You might not even be chayiv for that at all. This is mamish where you have intention for the action, you're just mistaken about the circumstances. So it says the Gemara. Vatanya excuse me. Amir Kemali Pitala. So this Amir Chayiv, if you go ahead and you carry out the amount of a talas, a small goat. Vatanya ki grogeres. But we learned elsewhere that it's like the size of a dried fig. Idi vi idi chad shi uruhu. So the Gemara says, that's all one shear. Fine. So the Mishnah said that if you have leaves of garlic and leaves of onions, if they're moist, you're chayiv for carrying the amount of a dried, the size of a dried fig. If they're dried out, it has to be the amount of the gedi. They do not combine one with the other. Because they don't have the same shear. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina, Ein mitstarfen lechomer shebohen, aval mitstarfen lekal shebohen. So we'll say, this is very interesting. So Rabbi Yossi says, they don't combine for the more chomer shear, but they will combine for the more kal shear. Rabbi Yossi, here's what's interesting. Remember, what makes a shear more chomer in this discussion? The smaller the shear, the more stringent it is, right? Because remember, the smaller it is, the easier it is to violate the malacha b'shogeg. The larger it is, the more difficult it is to violate the malacha b'shogeg. So therefore, again, so the Gemara says over here that halacha l'ayis Rabbi Yossi Bachanina says when we say that the shiurim don't combine, they don't combine for a smaller shear, but they do combine for a larger shear. So the Gemara says, 1 second. But I say, but in general, the Gemara says, don't we hold that two items? I'm sorry, actually, the Gemara is really asking a question. Are we to assume that when things don't have the same shear, that they do not combine? But we learned, Habeget, beget, gimel al gimel. So also we actually touched on this earlier. So the Gemara says like this, that halacha lemaisa, if you have a beget that's gimel al gimel, if you have a garment that is three tefachim by three tefachim, we spent extensive time on this. A beget that's three tefachim by three tefachim, or this is the minimum shear to make an item be mekabel tumah. So if you have a beget that's gimel al gimel, sak, which is sackcloth, dalet on dalet, four tefachim by four tefachim, or leather, hay al hay, five tefachim by five tefachim, mapatz is a mat, vav al vav. So we'll say all these different things have different minimum shear in order to allow them to be mekabel tumah. So the halacha is, v'tani alon, we learned about this, habeget v'hasak, hasak v'ha'or, ha'or v'hamapatz, mitstarfim ze'im ze'im. We learned that halacha l'maisa, all of these different materials could go ahead and combine with one another to form the basic shear to be mekabel tumah. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That even items that do have separate shi'urim can what? Can halacha l'maisa combine to go ahead and form one shear? This is contrary to what we said before. V'amrei shlagish matam mibnei shiru'uyin l'tamei moshav. So shlagish, Rav Shimon says, excuse me, why is that? Because we'll say all of these things do have a very significant common denominator, which is that they are all susceptible to the same level of tumah, which is tumas moshav, which is a certain type of tumah depending on the status of the person who's tameh. If they sit on a particular item, the act of sitting can transfer a degree of tumah to that. So since all of these objects are subject to tumas moshav, therefore halacha l'maisa, their shiurim can combine as well. So the Gemara goes on. Aval in ru'uyin l'tameh moshav, lo, but halacha l'maisa, if they were not able to go ahead and combine for tumas moshav, then they shiurim would not combine. Amir Rava, hacha, hachanami, dechazya l'dugma. So the Gemara says, over here also then, the shiurim should combine. So what the Gemara saying is like this. Rabbi Yossi is the one who said that the shiurim do combine l'kula but not l'chumra. The shiurim combine to form the larger amounts to make you chayiv, but the shiurim will not combine l'chumra to make you chayiv on the smaller amounts. So the Gemara says, but one second, how can we really combine items? After all, the only time that we allow shiurim to combine is when there's some significant thing that brings them together. The thing that brings these materials together for the sake of tumah is the fact that they're all subject to tumas moshav. What will bring all of these different items in the Mishnah together? To which the Gemara answers, who is this that answers this? Rava says, Hachanami de chazi la dugma. Chazi la dugma means, Rabbi, look at Rashi. The dugma literally means an example. Rashi points out over here, the dugma, Mishi yeshlo limkar tzubar. The tzubar, tzubar mikulan, v'nosein lefi chalono, laharos sheyeshlo limkar mikulan, v'nechale shiu mechubarin iyachod, this is interesting. If a person had a store and they were selling all of these different types of items, you were selling Eitzan, Amir, and Tevan, and all this stuff, or which I guess was normally sold together, people often used to display their wares in front of their store. So how would you display these items? You'd put them all together in a receptacle, right? Obviously, you wouldn't mix them all up per se, but you'd put them all together in one receptacle. This way, a person is able to see at one glance everything you have to offer. Not only that, but it's beneficial, because apparently some of these items are lighter, some of these items are heavier. If you were to put the lighter items on their own, what would happen? They would be dispersed by the wind. Combining them with the heavier items keeps them rooted in the receptacle. So the Gemara says, since there are situations in which you do want these items to be mixed together, therefore halacha l'maisa, under certain circumstances, they can combine together to form the requisite shear that will make you chayv v'chatos on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Hamotzi ochlim kigro geres chayiv. When it comes to food items, that Rashi points out over here, the ma'achol odom. See, the previous Mishnah was talking about items for animals. This is now talking about over here, items for people, food items for people. So if a person carries out ochlim, so the halach is kigro geres chayiv. If you carry out the volume, the amount of a dried fig, you're chayiv, umitztarfim ze'im ze'. And the amounts combine one with the other. Mipnei sheshavu b'shiurehen. They both said the reason they could combine is because apparently all food items have the same shear. So once you have the same shear, yes, so you could combine a little piece of tomato with a little piece of potato with a little bit of bread. And if together all of those things have the shear of grogeres, you are chayiv. Chutz mikli pasan v'garinehen v'uktzehen. with the exception of their klipa, their shell, garinei and their pit, uktzei and their stem, suban umarsan, their coarse bran and their fine bran. Rabbi Huda Omer chutz miklipi adoshin shemispashlos imoin. Rabbi Huda says the only exception to this will be the shells of adoshin. Adoshin are lentils. Why? Because the shells of lentils are cooked along with the lentil. Okay, says the Gemara. The suban umorson lo mitstarfin are the bran. Again, the suban umorson just refers to the morsonon, It refers to the two different types of bran, the coarse bran and the fine bran. Is that true that they don't combine with the food item to form the requisite shear? Vahatnan, but we learned, chameshes revoim kemach va'od, chayovin bechalo. If you have 5 quarters, Rashi points out over here. Rashi says, no, he doesn't quote it over here. So it's chameshes revoim kemach, it's actually five one-quarter lugs of kemach, ultimately formed together for challah, right? This is the shear that you have for challah. So the halacha is hein v'suban umorsanon. What's included in the shear of the flour for challah? It's the flour as well as the suban and morsanon, even the coarse bran and the fine bran. So you see from here that what? That halacha l'maisa, these items are included as food. If that's the case, then why would they not be chayiv in the shear of grogeres for hotzah? To which the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, shekein oni ochel pito bi'isa belusa. So Abaye says, because an oni will eat his bread bi'isa belusa. What's isa belusa? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, belusa, it's the first Rashi in the Gemara, mi'ureves besuvna umrsana, hilchach lechem ha'aretz karinanbei. Umihu li'inyan Shabbos midi dechashiv ba'inon v'stamayhu dahani lav ochel ninu. So also the Gemara says, because at the end of the day, the reason why it combines with the shear of challah is because an ani will eat his bread even with these impurities mixed in. But for Shabbos, we're looking for items that are chashuv, and bran is not considered to be a chashuv. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. All of the things that we consider to be very chashuv today, Chazal felt was like the garbage, right? Who ate whole wheat bread? Paupers ate whole wheat bread, right? Right. The elite ate white bread. That's what people ate. No one ate bran. The bran is what you gave to your animals. It's just interesting. It's just interesting how, you know, everything. But nevertheless, suppose I just want to point out, meaning what? It's not really so lamaisa, but, you know, the truth is these things are subjective. So meaning what the Gemara is saying over here is you would not be chayi for carrying out, you know, a grogeres worth of bran on Shabbos because that's not called chashuv. Clearly, if society said that bran was chashuv, you would be chayif for carrying that amount. So perhaps that changes today. But lemaisa, the Gemara is saying the reason why the Mishnah says it doesn't count towards the grogeres amount is because again only poor people eat this and therefore it's not considered chashuv.
If you're wealthy and it means nothing to you either, then
well, the Mishnah says you're not chayif for it. Right, so the Mishnah says across the board that you're not chai because people didn't eat it, and that's even given the fact that perhaps some poor people did eat it. We look at what is objectively chashuv, and bran is not objectively chashuv. Therefore, not chai for carrying it out. If that changes, then obviously that halacha changes also. Rabbi Huda Omer chutz miklipi adosha aspashal simon. Rabbi Huda says the Mishnah said that normally shells do not count as part of. Do not count as part of the shear for the grogeres. However, however, the shells of adoshin do count because they're cooked with the items. Adoshin in pulin lo, is that to say that it only applies to lentils and not to beans? Vatanya Rabbi Huda Omer chutz miklipe pulin. But Rabbi Huda said. Rabbi Huda also said that this comes to exclude the shells of lentils, right? That the shells of lentils, halach lemaisa, are also included in the shear of grogeres. To which the Gemara says, lo kashya, habacharati, habaatiki. So the Gemara says, it's talking about two different things. One is talking about just freshly cooked, called new beans, and one is old beans. So the Gemara says, atiki my time alo. So why is it that by the older beans, right, that halach lemaisa, the shells are not counted as part of the grogeres? Rabbi Avo, mipnei shenirin kizvuvin bekara. This is interesting because I guess apparently as the bean ages, the shell begins to look almost like a fly. So people don't really keep that around; they get rid of it. So because they get rid of it, therefore it's not mitzarif for the shear of grogeres. Hadron aloch klal godol, says the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. Hamotzi yayin kedei mezigas hakos. So we'll say this, although again the parak is over, the saga continues. So still with hotzah. So now we're getting into, we did animal food, we did human food, now we're getting into liquids. Hamotzi yayin kedei mezigas hakos. If you go ahead and you carry wine, Rashi says, yayin chai. Now, I will say, remember, it's important to understand, the way they're making wine is from wine concentrate. Right? The person would have a significant amount of concentrate, and they would, every time they wanted to make a cup of wine, you took a little bit of concentrate, we'll see actually the proportions in just a little bit, take a little bit of concentrate, mix it with water, and that's your cup of wine. So the Mishnah says over here that if you take out enough wine concentrate, kedei mezigas kos yafa, in order to go ahead and make a good glass of wine. Take a look at Rashi. Kedei mezigas hakos, kashir shenosdin yayin chai lesoch hakos, lehosif alav mayim kilchoso, velimzog osabohen, vigmar mafarish ezakos misharos. So the Gemara is going to discuss exactly how much this is. How much is this? Amotziyan kedei mezigas hakos, chalav kedei gemiya. Right? So if you carry out milk, how much milk are you chayif for carrying? If you go and you carry, gemiya is a swallow. So it's as much milk as you can take down in one gulp. In one gulp. Now I will say, obviously for things like this we'll have to discuss, does that mean it's a subjective shear? Right? I have a big mouth, so I could go ahead and drink a lot of milk at once. You can only drink a little, so we'll obviously have to define that. Dvash, honey, kedelitin ala kosis. Kosis literally is a wound or a sore. So for honey, you carry enough to go and use to cover a sore. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Kosis shebegabe asusim vagamalim machmas hamasos. So first opinion Rashi says is that this is talking about a sore on an animal that animals get as a result on their back as a result of carrying a load. He says, he quotes over here the Gemara Mesechs Vav Metzia. All right, aval rabosai pershu kosis maka al gav hayad shvasha al gav haregel. So Rashi says, however, my Rebbeim told me that this wound refers to a wound on a person. That it's talking about a wound that you get on your foot or on your hand. I will say, obviously, that's important for us also because when trying to figure out the shear that we're talking about over here, it is important to know, are we talking about the wound on an animal or on the wound on a person? That could definitely influence the amount. So we'll see in the Gemara. Mayim, water. Kedei loshuf behem es akilor. So how much water are you chayu for going ahead and carrying on Shabbos? Enough to go ahead and mix kilor. What's kilor, Rashi says? Shenosnin ala ayin. Some type of ointment to go ahead and, if a person was having eye trouble, so enough water to go and make the eye ointment for smearing on their eye. Well, so I just say something interesting just as an aside. You know, this is, we know that, I think I mentioned this, but I'm certainly mentioned on Tisha B'Av, but the author of many of the kinos is a man by the name of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. So there's a lot of historical debate as to who exactly Rabbi Elazar HaKalir is, because Tosfos quotes Rabbi Elazar HaKalir in Chagiga. But interesting enough, many posit that it might be just someone known as Rabbi Elazar, who we have many Rabbi Elazars throughout our history. So why Kalir? So Kalir, many want to suggest, was because comes from this word kilurin. That kilurin, kilor, is an eye salve, something you put on your eye when you had irritated eyes. So Rabbi Elazar HaKalir wrote the kinos. You know, so many years we cried over the Churban, and we couldn't find ways to express the way we felt about this incredible loss, and he gave us these kinos, which ultimately serve as like a salve for the eye to heal the irritated eyes. That's the kilurin. Ushar kol amashkin, any other liquid, berevius. So any other liquid, you're chayiv if you carry out a revius. We'll discuss how much a revius is also. V'chol ha-shofchin, berevius. So we'll say, so now any other liquid other than the ones mentioned, by definition, you're chayiv carry a revius. Shofchin is wastewater. Rashi says, mayim sruchim, wastewater, you're chayiv if what? V'chol ha-shofchin, berevius. You're also chayiv if you carry out a revius. Reb Shimon says, kulan berevius. Reb Shimon says, no, or Reb Shimon disagrees on the entire Mishnah until now. And Reb Shimon says that every shear for liquid is a revius. That's it. There's one shear for all liquids. Velo ne'emru kala shiurim halalu elu lematzni ehen. And the only reason that the shiurim in the Mishnah were mentioned were for those who go ahead and store these particular items. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Velo ne'emru shiurim shebemishna elu lematzni ehen bilvad. The shiurim in the Mishnah were only mentioned for those who go ahead and store away these items. The chazer hamatznia v'hotzio chayiv, aval shar kol adam shotzio eino chayiv. Usvili Reb Shimon the matznia atzma boy shiur zuto ubebetzir mehay shiur lo mechayiv. So we'll say what we're going to see. What Reb Shimon is trying to suggest is the following. Reb Shimon is trying to suggest that the amounts mentioned in the Mishnah are actually less than Revius. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? The chiddush of the Mishnah is if you store away these particular items in these shiurim, then these smaller shiurim become significant for you. And as we saw beforehand, if the shiur is significant for you, then what? You are chayiv for hotzah for that amount. But for any other person who doesn't necessarily store away these amounts, what's the shiur for chayiv? Is a revius. Says the Yimar Tana. So the Mishnah said that for wine, you're chayiv if you carry the amount that it takes to make a nice cup of wine. Umay kos yafe. And what is a kos yafe? What is the definition of a nice cup of wine? Kos shel bracha. It's the cup that you would use for bracha. Rashi says, birkas hamazon. Right? So a nice cup of wine is like a cup that you would use for benching. So what does that mean? Amrav Nachem, Amrav Baravua. Kos shel bracha tzorich shiyehei bo rova revius kedei shiyim zigenu v'ya'amod al revius. So Rabbi Ravua says that a kos shel bracha has to have a rov revius. Now what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi Rabosai. Rashi says shir kos shel bracha tzorich shiyehei bo yayin chai rova shel revius halog. So I will say, in other words, that the way they would go ahead and make a good cup of wine, is it would be a rova revius shalog, rashis kadeshim zigenu, the maim shlosha chalokim maim ve'echad yayin. The way they would make a good cup of wine is three parts water to one part wine. So it just shows you just how strong that concentrate must have really been. So three parts water to one part wine was considered to be a good cup of wine. Any more would be too diluted. Any less would be too strong. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here, and that is that's the way the Gemara would make a kosher bracha. Therefore, the Gemara suggests over here that halacha lamaisa hamotzi ayin kedei mezigas kos yafe is you'd be chayiv to go ahead and carry the amount of wine concentrate that would be necessary to make a good cup of wine, which would be three parts water to one part wine. All right, Tomasi, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with the kosher bracha. We'll pick up with the kosher bracha tomorrow. What was it?